Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This is truly an epic event that is raising awareness and revealing just how much is happening in the world of embodiment. And this gives me hope about where we're heading as a people. I'm Amara Pagano. I'm the founder of Azul, a conscious movement path of personal transformation. I work with the body and the power of movement to awaken love and consciousness. Embodiment is a key to my work. And the journey of embodying the map of Azul is what facilitates the process of self-realization. I'm excited to sponsor the Dance and Creativity Channel to share my love of movement and to celebrate the power that it has to serve our collective evolution. If you are interested in awakening your deepest potential or curious about the spiritual and healing aspects of embodiment, I encourage you to check out Azul. Everyone is welcome. I work with people who love movement and people who have never moved. Follow the link and you'll find three gifts for you: a 50-minute Azul journey, a special discount on our online embodiment training, and a free month in our upcoming membership program. So come, check out the Path of Azul. I'll be presenting on the main stage here and in the Dance and Creativity Channel, and I hope to see you there. For now, enjoy the richness of the presentation you're about to see.
So let me introduce you to our lovely presenter today. So Roshan has over 15 years experience working with individuals to address transgenerational trauma through restorative and transitional justice models. And now she's self-employed as a qualified advanced yoga therapist and sound therapist. So she's still working in communities, but is using different therapeutic modalities. She's the director of pastoral care and digital innovation with Girls Rock School, Northern Ireland, and the founder of Ukulele Portal and Yoga Leelas. She's about to self-publish her first book entitled, and I really love the title, Losing My Mind Mindfully. Yay. So, welcome.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that introduction, Mia, and welcome to everyone who is joining us this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whatever day it is for you. Okay, so I would like to invite you to settle in, begin to make yourself comfortable, preferably in an upright position. And while you're getting organized, I will explain the format of the session. So first, we're going to do a gentle mindfulness exercise. I will tell you a bit about how I ended up doing this work. And then we'll have some play time with experimental vocalization and movement. There will be time for questions and interaction during this part of the experience. Typically, people aren't really in a questioning frame of mind after the final sound bath. So if you're comfortable, I'm just going to check. I can hear typing and I want to double check all the mics are closed because we're about to do a relaxation. Thank you. Okay. So if you're sitting comfortably, I invite you to close your eyes if that's available to you today. And if it's not, you can simply gaze softly downwards. Begin to sense into how you feel. Notice anywhere that you're holding tension. You don't have to do anything about it. Simply notice it, observe it, and see what happens. Each time your mind wanders, gently and patiently return your awareness to your body. Scan for tension, and where you find it, wait with it. Now take your awareness to your breath. Don't try to influence it or change it in any way. Simply observe how it feels. Each time thoughts come to mind, let them pass like clouds in the sky. Stay present and alert to the sensations and the thoughts which occur. Don't dwell on them. Simply notice and observe for as long as they are. Shade and day crook moro Tavio Lake Oshu lay black lalia Tom and Raleigh Mora Estofi Saki Ashulamostar Moraya Tom Shade and day crook mora Tavio Lake Oshu lay black nalia I'd like to welcome you back into the room, back into your body. Take a moment now to notice how your breath feels. Notice anywhere there is tension in the body. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to gently open your eyes. So I would encourage you, If you have any comments, observations, or questions, to put them in the chat. You'll notice in the chat that you can choose all panelists or all panelists and attendees. So panelists are the people in the room here with me this morning. Welcome. So good to see your faces. And attendees are everyone on the webinar whose cameras we can't see. So if you'd like to communicate with your peers, then please choose all panels and attendees in the chat option. But I would really love to hear some reflections on how that was for you. Did it make you uncomfortable? My shame is crying. Oh my God, you're going to break my heart. Thank you so much for saying that. Yeah. I totally feel those words. So as you're sharing your reflections, I feel so much tension in the shoulders and back. Yeah. And this has a drastic impact on how we are actually able to breathe. Moved by grief. Susan, I don't know whether that's your grief or mine, but we have very intertwined stories, I can assure you. Thank you for sharing that. Turned straight to tears and suddenly remembered why I'm here. Right, exactly. Totally. Yeah. So you'll have that realization again and again over the next 45 minutes. So I'll go ahead and give you some context. I do tend to speak very quickly. So if that's making it difficult for you to follow, then please do wave your hand or put in the chat, encourage me to slow down. So for context, singing in my mother tongue, I was just singing in Gaelic Irish there, and I would call that my mother tongue. And I would also call it a deep honor. I haven't sung in my mother tongue for about 20 years, since I was in school. If you don't know anything about Northern Ireland, I'll give you a quick snapshot. When I was born, we were still experiencing regular violent conflict. It wasn't until I was 14 years old that a peace agreement was reached. While I never witnessed this violence firsthand, it made an indelible mark on my life. Gabor Maté would say, it's the reason I have asthma, and it's the reason that half my family are on very strong medication for chronic health conditions. But the symptoms of growing up first generation in a post-conflict environment are multiple, subtle, and pervasive. So for example, the reason that I didn't sing in Irish for 20 years is because it wasn't safe to do so. There were very few spaces where such a thing would be welcome, let alone encouraged. So I learned to sanitize this aspect of my identity. And the further into my work, my job, my profession that I got, the more clinical and detached I became. Where I come from, my name instantly categorizes me as from one particular community or tribe. And we were having a laugh just at the start of this session about how to pronounce my name. So if you're curious, my name is Roisin. So it's R-O Fada, and that makes it a broad vowel, Ro. And then S-I Fada. So I Fada makes it a broad vowel again because it's got the line above, which instead of ah means e, so Roisin. But it's not something I have, it's not something I'm overly attached to these days. my name instantly categorizes me as from one particular community or tribe. And if you've ever heard of Marshall Rosenberg, who developed nonviolent communication, he says in the first chapter of his book, I discovered then that a name could be as dangerous as any skin color. And this pretty much sums up my experience of growing up. Couple that with being female and by default, often subject to sexual assault at any given time or place, which if you think is uncommon, you're sadly mistaken. Ask around, speak to the women in your life. So these intersecting identities made me strive to become invisible. I spent most of my teens and 20s trying to minimize my appearance, all the while pushing myself to progress ultimately into a very shrunken, ineffective, and inauthentic version of myself. I was a successful professional, but I was a shell of myself. This turned out to be as unhealthy as it sounds. In 2017, I went to Sri Lanka to do a 10-day silent retreat. And I expected that I would experience a novel silence and tranquility. That experience came and went. What surprised me, though, was the sounds I could hear. I was certain I could hear strings playing, like a quartet, so very softly, somewhere. I couldn't place it, and any time I tried, it stopped. But when I was very still and very quiet, I could hear music. Not long after I returned home, I learned I was pregnant, and soon after that, I left my job. I left all the roles that I had worked so hard to cultivate, and I stayed home. I sang, I meditated, and I observed. And I found out so much about myself. We're going to do another activity now, exercise. But I would like to start by telling you that the first time I experienced chanting, it made me very uncomfortable. I was at the beginning of my yoga teacher training, and it came up in one of the classes. Given the context of where I grew up, thousands of lives were lost to religious fundamentalism. To realize that I may have ended up in another type of cult made me freeze with fear and then get quite angry, I remember in that moment. I obviously feel very different about a lot of this stuff now, and that's what this work does. So I invite you to participate in whatever capacity you feel comfortable to do so. People are saying thank you for the story in the chat. There is so much more to this story. These are some of the sort of critical events, but they're certainly not any, you know, they're not all of them. Thank you for saying that. So I invite you to participate in whatever way you feel comfortable. This does not need to be seen as a religious experience if that's not for you. All you're asked to do is observe how these sounds make you feel. And if you feel compelled to join in, that is also very welcome. All mics will be muted anyway, so we won't be able to hear you. If you're not familiar with the yogic three-part breath, I will very quickly guide us to an awareness of these areas, okay? So we're going to do some chanting, but we're going to couple it with the yogic three-part breath. And that starts in the abdomen. So if you place your hands on your lower belly, and you're right on your tummy, underneath the belly button if you want, really sort of feel into that support. You're going to inhale slowly through the nose, slowly drawing the air down, directing it in behind the belly button. As you exhale, exhale through an open mouth, relax the tongue and jaw. Relax the face. Lovely. Relax the fingers and toes. Breathe deeply. So next, usually we would do this three-part breath and chanting over the space of maybe 40 minutes to an hour, but we're just going to do a whistle stop tour today. So next, I want you to bring your hands up around the rib cage. So we call them Lego hands. You know, if you're like an 80s child, you'll know what Lego is, but it's this sort of cupping action with the hands. You're going to place them around the rib cage. And this is a different breath. So this breath is called bellows breath or ribcage breathing, and it's much sharper. So you're drawing the air in through the nose again, but you're actually trying to engage the muscles individually in between the ribs, intercostal muscles, to pull the ribs open, which creates a vacuum which draws air in. So it's the muscles doing the breathing, not, you know, whatever else you think it is. And then as you exhale, you're using those same muscles to force the air out. So, excuse me, to expel the air. Okay. So in your own time, you're going to, I'll just demonstrate two or three of them. So it's, and be really forceful about pushing that air out, but not from your mouth. Forceful with these muscles here. Okay. So we'll do 10 of those if that suits when you're ready. Lovely. Just let that settle. So this one can be quite challenging for people because it's an area that we're not used to working with. Most of us breathe into the top 30% of our lungs and the rest of 70% carry stale air. Okay, so it's really, really good to practice this daily if you can. Next, we're going to move up for the Ujjayi breath. Hyperventilate it a bit. Yes, please do work to your own pace and comfort. This is not a no pain, no gain scenario. This is very much a, like, just relax into the experience. But yeah, that's all good. Emmanuel, it sounds like maybe you needed a nice burst of oxygen in the body. So please do keep an eye on that and let me know how you're doing in a few minutes. So the Ujjayi breath, you're going to the clavicle here, which is right in between the two bones, the bottom of the neck. And you're slightly constricting the muscles in the throat. So it's also called baby's breath or ocean breath. And that's because of the sound that you generate. So you inhale, restrict the muscles slightly, exhale. When you're first learning it, you can make the noises quite loudly, but the idea is to shrink the sound so that really only you can hear it. Okay. So again, we'll do 10 of those. I'm going to do it with my mouth open so you can hear the sound to hear if that's what you know you're doing yourself. But so when you're ready. And notice if this brings tension into the body. So keep relaxing the face, keep breathing nice and softly. Breathing through the nose, typically. I was breathing through the mouth to demonstrate so that you could, so it was audible, but preferably through the nose. I found out in the last few weeks, I was doing a training boot camp in preparation for the conference. And Matt Hill, if you haven't caught his session, please do go and check him out. He's incredibly talented. But he was saying about how mouth breathing is a trauma response. And as soon as he said it, I was like, oh, I've been doing that my whole life, you know, like I had no idea. He kept using this phrase, greedy for air. And it is about this idea of like scarcity and trauma. And so, yeah, if you find that you're slipping into a default mouth breathing mindset, that is like a subtle indication of anxiety and trauma. And that's something that you want to keep an eye on. So now we're going to do the chanting. Now that we know and can isolate the three different parts of our respiratory system, we're going to do the Om chant. Now, like I say, I find this quite triggering the first time I experienced it. So please don't feel obliged to participate. But if that's accessible to you today, then we're going to do the Om in three parts. So when we expel air from the abdomen, we're going to go ah. When we expel air from the rib cage, the middle part of the lungs, we're going to go oh. So it's ah, oh. Then up here, we're going to do the okay. So I would encourage you not to try and stay in time with me for this. It would be really good if the sounds overlapped, and obviously we can't hear you. So just, you know, go for broke, enjoy yourself and just see how this experience feels. I would really ask you to bring your awareness to the abdomen and the muscles in between the ribs as you're expelling the air. And the sensation that you're trying to create is almost like, you know, you have a juice carton and you're trying to squeeze all the air out of it. So you're really using the muscles to be quite forceful. Forceful is not a word I use often, but you want to complete that process. And it should feel like you've expelled all the air and that breath, the intake happens naturally. Okay. That was a lot of words. Whew. Feel free to move around and, you know, like totally get into your body and see how this experience is affecting you. Or just watch. Plenty. Okay, so here we go. We're just going to do like maybe 10 rounds of this. Let it settle. It's really important to create the space to observe what has just occurred. And then we'll see about maybe doing another 10 rounds. We'll see what we're like for time. Okay. So here we go. Do notice where any tension starts to creep into the body. So just take in the space to notice how that felt. Did you encounter any resistance? Did the very thoughts of the activity make you squirm and squeamish? Maybe you found it soothing. There's no right or wrong answer to this work. There's just truth. My head starts to hurt, someone has said. Yeah, that's very likely tension. Resistance can be physical manifestations or just endless thought, negative thought. Adela, I would encourage you to keep an eye on that, to practice that, keep an eye on it. Don't punish yourself by doing the activity until, you know, you feel like you've done enough. That's not the point here, okay? It is very much what is occurring and why? And can I place what I just felt? And it's not about having the language to articulate what happened. It's just being aware of it. If you can't hear the voices in your head that are shouting you down, then you'll never be able to do anything about it. Yeah, beautiful. So we're halfway through the session already. I know a word that I've put in the notes here about this particular activity is aversion. Notice if you found it challenging or developed an aversion to it. Where does this tension or judgment come from? Yeah. I had some tension in one shoulder at the end of the exhale. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so I love how people are starting to identify the parts of their physicality that are restricting and limiting what is possible in that. And this is how it ties into expanding creativity. Because if you're shutting parts of yourself down, and often it won't be deliberate. You know, if you listen to Dr. Stephen Porges talk about polyvagal theory, quite often a lot of these very, very subtle subliminal cues that occur are to keep us safe. And we don't even know they've happened. Someone else has taken an executive decision, made that call on our behalf, you know. So you shouldn't feel bad about how you have found yourself in this position. Just notice where you are, who's talking. Okay. All right. So the next one we're going to do, slightly change the energy a little bit. We're going to stand up and do a vocal warm-up. We're going to change the vocal tone of the same phrase. And I want you to notice the effect that that has on the mind body. We'll begin just normal articulation. Then we'll make it quiet. Then we'll make it loud. We'll create the sound from the chest. So like we just did, you know, moving the sound and directing it around the body. We'll make the sound from the abdomen, the nasal cavities. We'll use the lips to make the sound tight out the front of the face. And then we'll use the lips and jaws to loosen up and make the sound completely differently. No, my Wi-Fi isn't cutting out. That's what we're going to do. And then finally, what we're going to do is do the sound with swag. So this is where I really want you to get your body involved, get the rhythm of the sound and really go for it. Okay. Again, there is no right or wrong way to do this. Just want you to notice how it feels. Notice any resistance you bring to the activity as well. I love this. I'll just pick on this very quickly before we move on. Karina says, I love it, but noticing it is so much easier for me when I know no one hears me. And that's exactly what I just referenced there with Stephen Porges and the polyvagal theory, because that is very much your social engagement system taking over and looking after you. So I experienced this as well. And what I realized was, you know, this occurred because there were so many instances in my young life when I was shut down and my sound, you know, I was made to feel like I was inadequate because of the sounds that I produced. And so, you know, my body took over and said, no, let's not make those sounds. We want to stay in the tribe. We want to be safe. So let's not make those sounds. Just learn to curtail that. So a lot of this work can be done privately, and that's lovely. Yes, Mia?
There's a question in the Q&A. It might fit to this.
I often feel breathless when I'm doing anything, but simplest breathing is the resistance or coordination. It's both, Sarah. Great question. Sorry for anybody who wanted to hear that question. It says, I often feel breathless when doing anything, but the simplest breathing. Is that resistance or coordination? It's absolutely both. So the reason that we practice articulation of the respiratory system is so that we can get to know it in an intimate way. And that will give you capacity to influence how you direct it. But obviously then we carry tension. I'll give you a very quick example. This training that I was doing for this, the boot camp. So I had a C-section 3 years ago. And over the last 3 weeks, I have cried a lot. And I had no idea that I was carrying so much emotional trauma in relation to this sort of abdominal surgery that I'd had 3 years ago. So a lot of the times the way to disperse the tension and the trauma is to actually just bring your awareness to it and be present with it. Okay, so it's both. I would say it's both. And just keep practicing, because you will see how quickly things change. Okay, so I'm just going to put it in the chat here. The phrase that we're going to use is just the vowels. If you're not familiar with that, if you're using a different alphabet, it's A, E, I, O, U. So what I want you to do, and please do keep putting your questions in the Q&A box, your comments in the chat. I won't actually read most of them until after the session, but I will catch up. Okay, so here we go. So I want you to just go, just in a nice rhythmical way. A-E-I-O-U. Notice how it feels. A-E-I-O-U. A-E-I-O-U. Now whisper. A-E-I-O-U. Notice where the sound comes from. Notice if it feels tense. A-E-I-O-U. A-E-I-O-U. Then go louder. A-E-I-O-U. 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 So you could use any words or sounds here. Next, we're going from the chest. A-E-I-O-U. A-E-I-O-U. Don't worry about doing it right. Just see how it feels. A-E-I-O-U. Abdomen. A-E-I-O-U. A-E-I-O-U. Nasal cavities. A-E-I-O-U. Go much higher there if I wasn't chickening out of it. A-E-I-O-U. Then go and make your lips tight. So, A-E-I-O-U. I love that, Jenny. A-E-I-O-U. And then do the loose jaw. A-E-I-O-U. Relax the cheeks, the lips. A-E-I-O-U. A-E-I-O-U. It feels silly. Notice the resistance if there is any. A-E-I-O-U. Notice if it makes you feel awkward or uncomfortable or clumsy, that's fine. And the next one we're going to do is with swag, and then I want you to freestyle it for a minute or two, okay? So with swag, what I mean is step into it, exaggerate the sounds, okay? So A-E-I-O-U, A-E-I-O-U, A-E-I-O-U. From the abdomen, A-E-I-O-U, 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 A-E-I-O, quicken up, A-E-I-O-U, A-E-I-O, nice and slow, A-E-I-O-U, A-E-I-O-U. So just let that fall out through the feet. Shake it off, let it go. And if you're standing up, you can come back to a seated position. Just take a moment to observe how that felt. You can note any reflections in the chat. Much resistance. Anja, I feel you. I feel you. I got a real bolt in the sweat. I know, right? Yes, something coming back online. I love that, Joe. Yes, 100%. And to the resistance, like, you're so speaking my language right now, because we don't actually have time to go into the beatboxing today, unfortunately. I was going to do a wee bit of beatboxing with you. But I do a 4-week course on this, Shame and the Voice. And week 2 is learning to make obnoxious sounds and why that's important. Okay. So the resistance you're talking about is very much like, it's ego centered. It'll manifest as a physical sensation in the body, but it is driven by the ego. You know, when we're children, we don't have any hang-ups about the sounds we produce. We learn that. Okay, I had to cry and I don't know why. That's relief. Relief. You're tapping into muscles and being present with what's coming up. It's release. That's positive. I'm just looking at Rachel on the screen here. Hi, Rachel in Thailand. Oh my God, so good to see your gorgeous face. but Rachel and I go way back, and Rachel is an incredibly talented meditation teacher and a circus performer and musician, and she's just incredible. It's so good to see you here. But the reason that I'm saying that is because Rachel would know me from sort of 10, 15 years ago. And Rachel's probably looking at me right now going, I can't believe this is the same person. Because when we met, I was very much like, I was over here. Yeah, I didn't want to be, I didn't want to be in your company, you know. But that's because I had such a dysfunctional relationship with myself. Okay. So noticing where these tensions come up. Noticing if something releases in your tummy when you're doing these exercises. Noticing if you cry. Noticing if it makes you laugh. Noticing if it makes you uncomfortable and squeamish. Whatever. It's all to the good. Just notice it. And then let it go. Yeah? You're not noticing it to burden yourself with it. Spend the next however many months beating yourself up about it because you didn't do what you thought or hoped you'd do. Learn to let it go. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
So there's a question.
Yes.
In the Q&A. Okay. I hope I pronounce the name right. Adila has asked, I want to friend my shame, accept my shame. A tip for that?
I can't find that question.
I know. It's hidden. It's under answered somewhere. She can't type in the Q&A.
Oh, this is somebody in the panelists room then, is it? Okay. Oh, Adela. Adela, if you're comfortable to do so, I'd invite you to unmute your mic and ask me the question, if that suits you.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
For me, for raising the hand and wanting to be here in panelist was an act of bravery, because otherwise my shame made me want to stay in attendees.
Yeah.
I'm crying because my shame is crying, and I want to befriend my shame. I want to accept it. I want to stop resisting all of this. I want a tip.
You want a tip? Yes. Okay. Okay. So, how I overcame the limitations that that ultimately affected all of my decisions in life, you know, the frame that I'd put myself in. This is what I say about when I teach beatboxing is, you know, when I was first invited to learn it, I was like, no, that's ridiculous. I'm never doing that. That's outrageous. And that was my body sort of reacting to the thoughts of how vulnerable I would have to make myself. So that wasn't an academic decision I made. That was my body saying, dangerous. Stay away. Okay. So it is a very challenging space to be in. And you're right. I know what you're saying about the attendees box. I've been there, you know. The only way to overcome it is to keep showing up. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, eating a salad and expecting to lose 20 pounds or whatever. You can't just do it the once. It has to become a lifestyle. Yeah. And like what, now that you're a grown person with your own autonomy and you don't rely on anyone else for security or you know, you can function in your entirety without everyone else. You're not a child anymore. So just keep showing up and show up without judgment. Because it's not about, I must go through these processes and at the end I will have or I will become or I will achieve. That is not going to work, and probably it's going to be very counterproductive. So just keep showing up. keep not enjoying the experience. It's not about enjoying. It's not about aversion. It's about conductivity. What is that word? You know, being the conduct, you know, or the conductor, you know. You're embodying the sound and the space and the vibrations and the resonance. You know, it's not on you to necessarily shape them.
Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Thank you for coming and for sharing, because it is very brave, terrifyingly brave. I totally know. And I'm so very grateful for you doing that. Okay. So we're not going to do the beatboxing today, but if you really want to see that lesson, you can get in touch and you can, you know, just let me know you were at the session and I'll send it to you because it's already online. Maya, like, do we have time for one short sound bath, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, or do people have more questions?
Seems no more questions and we have 10 minutes.
Wonderful. Well, then I would invite everyone to make themselves comfortable. Oh, Camilla said a really beautiful thing for you. Was it Adela? A teacher once told me, shyness is the door of grace. So no worry. Just take your time. That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, Camilla. It's quite right. So make yourself comfortable. If you need something to throw over your shoulders or your legs, we're going to do a short sound bath. Again, this is just about noticing how you feel as the sounds occur, okay? So for some people, crystal bowls can be quite challenging. But just notice that discomfort, because if one sound can produce that degree of tension in your body, imagine what the repetitive sound of the negative self-talk is generating in your body. And actually, I'll just finish by saying this. Since I have started doing this work, I have found that my creativity has become exponential. So I take more calculated risks now because I'm not constantly limiting myself and my capacity. I trust my voice and I trust what I can do with it. Okay. So get yourself a blanket. If you like, go ahead and lie down. As you turn your awareness within, notice where tension lies in the body. Don't try to change it in any way. Simply observe how it feels. As thoughts come to mind, let them pass like clouds in the sky. You can join in by humming along, or you can just listen and observe. And as before, just allowing your awareness to notice how you feel. Notice any changes that may have occurred since the beginning of the session. Perhaps your posture feels different. Perhaps your breathing feels different. Perhaps your forehead is more relaxed. Maybe you're talking to yourself more tenderly. Okay. Just I invite you back into the room. You can type any chats or comments in the comment box, but please don't feel like you need to rush up and start thinking. I'm the person in a meditation class that's like last out the door because I'm still pulling myself together 10 minutes after everyone else has left. So if you need the next few minutes just to gather yourself, that's perfectly okay too.
So there's a lot of love in the chat. People write, they feel clearer, or it was amazing. My hands got really hot, which a miracle, incredible experience, feeling relaxed. You have such a soothing voice.
Thank you so much. And here's the thing, I wouldn't know I have a soothing voice if I didn't ever let it out. So God knows what talents and gems you're hiding.
True.
I'll just very quickly, I notice there's a couple of questions here. I know we're wrapping up in a minute or two, but just Breda has a question. I have a weak, shaky voice. What can I do when speaking, reading in public? Okay. Breda, I am making a whole assumption here that maybe you're a woman. That's totally just going off your name, but also the context of what you said in terms of speaking and reading in public. Typically, women speak from this space, so this resonance chamber here, rather than here. Men speak from here, which is why men command more respect. Their sound has a more bass tone to it, and it... Because when we're children in utero, everything sounds muffled and dense. They're the sounds that we're used to hearing. So it's those lower tones that and frequencies that actually permeate the pregnancy bump and, you know, swirl around the uterus. That's kind of how I picture it. What you should do, or what you can practice in order to improve your speaking and reading voice, is to shift where the sound comes from in your body. So if you find yourself speaking up here and you're quite high pitched and you're maybe talking really fast, people can't keep up with that. Okay, so bring the voice down here. Breathe deeply. Do your three-part breath, because all sound that's generated from the vocal chamber comes from the diaphragm. So if you're not maintaining your respiratory system with good practices, then you cannot expect to have good quality vocal tone. Does that make sense? Beautiful. Okay. What is the song called you sang in the beginning? Can we find it somewhere? Thinking about singing it myself. I am deeply touched. Yes. The song is called Shay Do and Da. What is the actual English for that? Black is the color. And it is actually a folk song. I'll just show you. This is my journey of shame and the voice. So this is my mother tongue. Excuse me, this is my mother tongue. But you'll notice that maybe you can see that it's written out in Irish and then it's written out in phonetic English. And the reason for that is because, you know, it's not acceptable to speak Irish here even yet.
I'm so sorry. We have to wrap this up.
I know. So yes, indeed.
I don't want to stop it. Maybe you go into the Facebook group. Roshan will be there and you can have a chat. And I encourage you. This is such a value, this session. There's so many others. 48 hours for free. If you want, get the full library. It's 50% off during the conference. You can digest it in your own time. A lifetime access. And it's a great thank you to Mark and his team. And it was such a pleasure and honor with you being in the session today. I really loved it. And there's also the coffee breaks, right? You can have a chat there.
Yeah.
And yeah, bye for now. What's your last top tip? Don't forget about
The Embodiment Conference is actually putting together a book. So they're asking all the presenters for their one-liner, how to stay embodied. And something that I've heard reiterated across the last week with each presentation is this notion that the body is a resonator. And so if you even just view yourself in that capacity, if the body is a resonator, then it is your duty and your obligation to sing.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much for taking part. Bye.
Bye.